Monday, you people on your commute to work. Glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back because my friends and family thought I was off the Bro Rants podcast. somebody's last podcast.
Off topic. Before we get there, we got cousin Jeff in the building. So cousin
Jeff is in the house.
Exactly. Thank you for being here. And Ray, let's not harbor on things that may have occurred in your absence.
Hey, we're back on camera, though. Yeah, I mean, it's been what? How long has it been since we've been on camera?
It's been like almost 2 weeks, man. Oh, since we've been on camera? Shoot, it's been the entire year.
Wow. Like, where's it? Do we need makeup?
Well,
I hope not.
No. Ray used to use makeup back at, on the other shows. That was a secret. No,
it didn't enhance anything, though.
So how was your guys' week? How was your week, Ben? Or your weekend? How was your weekend, matter of fact?
You can go first, Jeff.
This weekend was miserable. It was rainy. It was overcast. And I had the duty of heading over to Claremont and dismantle a pool and take it down to Deltona.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Okay.
Dismantle a pool.
For folks that don't know, round trip, we're looking at about 2+ hours. And if you've ever dismantled an above ground pool, it's something.
Why do people do that?
I learned a thing or two.
Why do people do that? That's my mom was doing that before. Remember, she was taking it, she was expanding and getting bigger with the pool. Like, leave it. It's like, because what is it made out of? I don't even know.
I think it's like a
vinyl. Very thick vinyl that it's gonna you know disintegrate eventually. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get some tears in it. And what do you use? Like, are you gonna use the patch for the tire?
Well, hold up. First patch that shit up. It wasn't even for me, you know. So that's the crazy thing. Oh, you know, Jeff's, I just got roped into a situation. Mm-hmm. But it's all love. Yeah. It'll bring smiles to a couple of kids. So it's a win.
Just for a good month until those tears start coming through, because them things don't last, man. What about you, Raymond?
Oh man, I had a wonderful week weekend.
Tell us about your Mobile, Alabama. Your vacation.
It's not Mobile. It's Mobile, but you know.
Let them know. Excuse me.
That's the port city.
There you go.
So Mobile. My trip was amazing and. Sad, but amazing at the same time. The amazing part was that I was able to reconnect with friends that I haven't seen in, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years.
Is that where you originally from?
Born and raised, Mobile.
Oh, nice.
Gotcha. Born and raised. And I was reconnecting with my daughter as well. And at first, there was like a lot of like hurt from her, what she expressed it to me.
Gotcha.
But after it kind of, after everything came out, it kind of settled down, and we were able to just start building on that.
Oh, that's good.
So that was, I mean, it was a lot for a young girl to reconnect with a father who really hasn't been in her life that much. Okay. So, but overall.
Yeah.
Overall, it was great, great time. Great.
Well, kudos for that, man. Glad you're reconnecting with your daughter, and hopefully you guys build from there. And did she win? How did she place in the homecoming?
No, she was just part of the court as a freshman court, so she didn't actually win. Seniors actually win the homecoming, but they were just pretty much, she was as like a symbol or showing the future for homecoming.
Okay. She was a symbol?
She was a they have to, well, you know what? Think about it like this. Okay.
Nah, this is for that Mobile shit. She was a symbol? Go ahead, go. Do tell me if she's a symbol.
Keep this, hey, okay. Okay, nah, so look.
How was it?
The bride got bridesmaids, right?
Let's see if we get herself out of this. How?
So listen.
Tell us about it.
So they had to pick people from the freshmen, right?
Okay.
So yeah, she was chosen out of all the freshmen. So
okay, how was she chosen?
By her peers.
Was it the ones that had the best symbol? Just kidding.
Haters would be.
I'm just messing with you guys, man. My week was good, man. It was kind of weird not having Ray here. I was like, gosh. Ray left, and then Ray didn't let me know that he was leaving until it was too late that we didn't have a Monday show. So I said, you know what? The show must go on. Mm-hmm. And it did. It was weird doing it solo, like a monologue, but I was like, you know what? I showed Kate. I was like, oh, look at this. Did you see the picture?
You didn't see? Picture? Oh my goodness.
Raymond can show you while I'm talking. He can show you the picture while I'm talking.
Oh my gosh, man. It was so...
I was like, I was like, this is great. This is a good clickbait. I was like, he's going to see this and he's going to like crash the car on his way to work. Because he's like, I'm back. Oh, you're back. Okay.
Hey, it was, I was like, what Reggie doing? Okay. All right.
But yeah, over the weekend. So what we did over the weekend, we didn't actually do. We had people come in. We painted the house. If you guys notice, it's a different color. We upgraded our furniture, did a little, I guess you call it interior upgrade. Remodeling or
upgrade.
No symbol.
Upgrade.
Symbol.
See that yeah. Right there? You see it gave me X
style? Oh, wow.
So
it got me X'd out. Isn't that low?
It's not low, man. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go look at the Anchor right, app actually. And you can see the artwork.
So just to, for the cover. For the people listening to the podcast, okay. You know, while they're driving.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of me and Reg. If you look at our logo, when you buy our gear, you'll see a picture of Reg, you'll see a picture of me, and we're standing next to each other side by side. So on that logo,
yeah,
Reg has me X'd out. X'd me out. Low, dirty.
It said, get the hell out. It would have said, get out.
Oh, man.
I said, raise out. He's on vacation.
Yeah, raise out. Yeah.
If you read the description, it says he's on vacation. Relax. He's on vacation. It's clickbait, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some people take pictures that have, you know, their junk showing. Some people clickbait you with crossing out a former co-host.
I had a few of my homeboys text me up and say, hey, you all right? What's going on? hey, what's going on with the podcast?
Love it. Yo, I love it. Oh, man. I know your heart. When you saw it, tell me, honest to God, when you saw what happened, did you feel like, you're like, oh, shit.
This is what I honestly said.
This is good.
I said, I looked at my phone like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, Reg. Okay.
See how you living.
I see. Okay, let me finish what I'm doing, and I get with you later. Oh, okay. Until I actually read it. No, as a matter of fact, I listened to it. Then I said, oh, okay. I see what he's doing. Wink, wink. I got you. But at first?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Now you know who was actually listening, who contacted you. That was your people, right? Like, oh, shoot, bro. You out of it? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? Need a minute. You need a moment. I know you're just recovering with your daughter. You guys are building stuff, but you just broke this thing. This thing's gone.
They had my back.
So speaking of you guys, this week was crazy with the trial and everything coming with the verdict. Were you guys satisfied with the Derek Chauvin verdict? Were you satisfied? Did you see it coming, or were you shocked? I shouldn't say satisfied. Were you shocked by it? Did you think he was going to get off or not get all the charges filed against him, or charged on every charge, convicted?
You can go first, Jeff. Yeah.
So.
See that breath there he gets?
Yeah, no, that breath basically symbolizes how I felt about the whole situation, right?
Okay.
It was a holding of the breath because historically there's been plenty of other instances where we've caught people on camera doing things that fell outside of their role,
mm-hmm.
and they were not brought to justice. So this was another situation, even though it was gruesome mm-hmm. to watch that video, even though it impacted people of all ages and backgrounds, there's still this part of you that believes that, okay, this guy could walk away from this.
True.
So until the verdict came down, which, you know, whether you like it or not, in my opinion, was favorable, it was a very tense moment, and it was me basically holding my breath. And I think that in itself symbolizes mm-hmm. where we're at, right? Because when you have that much evidence, when you have video, when you have a scene that played out the way that did, and there's really no reason for the prolonged pressure on his neck, and you're still on the other side thinking to yourself, like, man, this guy may get off, that symbolizes the problem with, or better yet, the disconnect between... you know, just society and our laws, our law service. You mm-hmm. know, so
wow, yeah,
that's it for me in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. I mean, it was, but at the same time, I felt like when I listened to the trial and the witnesses,
yeah,
it was too many police officers who came on board, and they weren't for Derek. They didn't even give him like an ounce of like. They understood what he was going through, or he was a little bit right, or he was doing the right thing, or using the right procedures.
Yeah,
they all pretty much separated themselves from him. They all said he did the wrong thing. They all said he didn't follow the right rules.
Yeah,
and it was kind of like a change as far as usually they protect themselves, the blue line or the blue code, or but this was different.
I thought, jumping off what you said, I thought the reason, like both of you guys said, the fact that the video, there was this, first and foremost, the number they were saying forever was 8:46, and it turned out it was 9:29. So when you added that much time, almost another minute to it, it was ridiculous, right? But you see this guy sitting on his neck, and I thought what really did it in for him is when the paramedics came, and they checked the pulse, and they said, yo, he's, you know, no pulse, dead basically, right? Gets up, go gets the gurney, comes back, and has to tap this man on the shoulder and say, yo, can you get up so we can grab the corpse, basically. That says it all. That says what your intention was. Right. Your intention was, you know, that's what it looked like to me. Like, that to me sealed the deal. When the paramedics came and tapped him, and after they took the pulse and he didn't get up until they were, like, taking the body away, yeah, it was game over to me. Because the video, like you said, you're in a society now, you're like, okay, there's video now. Well, we've had video with Rodney King and everything like that. Right. We've had all that. And still at the end, you even have it with Ahmaud Arbery, that you're sitting there with this stuff showing. Like, people are trying to justify, oh, well, he ran after the gun. But if you look at the video evidence, it shows that the guy raised his rifle, and that's why he ran around the other side of the truck. And people can't process that. So I'm like, what do you need? You need, like, a word from God to say, yeah, that guy's guilty. That guy's intention was this. When video can't give context anymore,
right?
That's the scary part. So it's not even like, do you have evidence? It's like, no, you have evidence. So what else do you need? We actually need to hear that man said, I'm going to kill him.
Well, you know, the thing about that, though, is we can sit here and debate all day whether it was his intent to actually kill him, right? And that's a little harder to prove. But without a doubt, we can all agree that what he did was unnecessary. And you know what? That ultimately led to his death. And that's where, that's the line that got crossed. And so for a lot of the people that still feel that, you know, this was an injustice and this was somehow fueled, by one side or, you know, for some form of political gain.
Yeah.
I call shenanigans on that, because at the end of the day, I may feel that he did it intentionally. You may feel that he didn't. But the one thing that you cannot refute is the fact that how he went about handling his business.
Yeah.
Led to a man's death, and it was done in a fashion that was completely unnecessary.
Exactly.
Completely unnecessary.
That's the word.
4-1. 4-1, 3-1. And it's, to me, it was like, I don't know, man, it was like a gang beating, and one guy stand there and hold the crowd off, or lookout was the lookout, which was Officer Tao or whatever. He was the lookout, and these other guys are sitting there, and did you guys hear about the one officer that she did this, I forgot her name, excuse me. She stopped a fellow officer from choking out.
Oh, the illegal chokehold?
Yeah, and she stopped him. She got between the officer and punching her. She ended up losing her job.
Losing her pension
1 year or a couple months before she would be supposed to get her pension, I think. And so she finally, the judge reinstated her pension and everything recently. But that's what we need. We need good apples like that step in front and say, okay, he's down. Like, can we, the guy said a couple look times, let me check your pulse.
Though, look at what it cost her. So we're talking about good apples, but she stepped in, she did the right thing.
Yeah.
And then you know what? She fell victim to the same system that she was trying to protect.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
exactly.
Crazy when you think about it.
That's absolutely. Why people don't do the right thing.
That's
sometimes.
Why people don't do the right thing.
I get that. But here's the thing. When you take away the, them having, I can't even think of the word.
Is it the immunity?
The immunity, right? Mm-hmm. When you take away that and you can go after the pensions and stuff like that, it's game changer. Because if I go to work and I mess up numbers, you go to work and you guys mess up anything at work, your job's at stake. How are these guys taking lives in situations and they can still, you know, they just get a leave of absence for a day a week or get desk duty to process whatever? I mean, I'm saying when they're in the wrong, not when it's a justified shooting, guys. So Don't.
Well, there isn't any incentive to do the right thing.
Well, there's no penalty to do the right thing.
It's about accountability.
Accountability. Right? You don't get no accountability. Pensions don't get touched. If anybody's paying, it's the taxpayers paying when they actually settle with civil suits. So basically, it's the victim's families paying this bill anyway.
Mm. So I want to rewind real quick. So yeah, sure. For all of our law enforcement peoples that are joining in on this show, whether you know you are in law enforcement or whether you have a family member or a loved one, please let me first say this. First and foremost, I appreciate and I am thankful to the people. Respect, brother. We are thankful and we appreciate the people that put their lives on the line day in and day out. Your job is not easy. You are met with all forms of resistance. Mm-hmm. And there are instances where you have to make a split decision, like a split second decision for either the protection and benefit of yourself or the people around you. As a black man, with all of the ugliness that's being shown on social media and television right now, as far as, you know, the interactions, I've had some really good interactions as well. I actually probably have more favorable interactions than negative ones. That said, I've also been pulled over for no good reason with guns drawn.
Ooh.
Held on the side of a road for a solid 15 to 20 minutes with no explanation given.
Wow.
Only to then be told, like, oh, you're good to go. You guys matched the description of a potential suspect in the area.
Wow.
And those are the things that we're addressing today, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I just kind of wanted to put that out there because I know there's a lot of people that are passionate on this subject. And right. I think we spend a lot of time bashing, but we don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time congratulating.
Well said. I mean, if you go back on our show, on one of our previous episodes, we did interview Sheriff Chitwood from Volusia County. So.
Okay.
We definitely do support our law enforcement.
I support law enforcement. I support anybody that does their job right. If you do your job like shit, I do not support that. I'll just speak for it, you know, because at the end of the day, people speak the Blue Lives Matter. And I don't know where this thing came from, because when someone can show me from DNA and on ethnicity or nationality where blue lives are, then we can talk. Because that makes no sense. You're talking about a job. You're talking about a uniform. That when people saying black lives or whatever, they're talking about a skin color that cannot be changed. You can be blue lives no matter what color you are. Just like you can be in the pride, you know, as far as the LBGQ, no matter what color you are, right? You can be any of those things. What black is, you are, when you're ethnicity, you're that ethnicity. There's no changing that. No documentation is going to change that. So...
That was more political. They're trying to draw a line. That's what it was.
I understand, but
yeah,
it's lives versus job.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's occupation versus a life that's a skin color. Okay, sure. Let me go change my skin color. So now I'm in this safety. No, you know what I mean. When you go home, you're a cop. You take off your uniform. No one knows you're a cop. When you go wherever, I wear this uniform every day, which is my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's like just like what the issue with the Dante Wright thing. Having the expired tags, and I thought that from what I've heard, it was not paying. Was it either having it? You guys familiar with it or no? Why he had the expired tags, or
it was something about he missed a court date,
and it was sent to the wrong address or something, right? So it was something
which was pulled over because of the expired tag on the car, which actually I think belonged to his mother. His mother,
yeah, she said she just got him the car. So it basically gave him the car, and anyway.
And from there, it just kind of escalated.
Very weird. I don't know. There's so many speculations on that. They were like, you can hear the gunshot in the video. I don't know. You notice people. There's no time and stamp, you know, for people that are with the conspiracy theories. Like, and then you have the other thing with the young lady that just happened in, what was that, in Ohio?
Right. About the knife?
Yeah, man. But I don't know. See, she was about to stab another person. So she had it, and I thought that was...
So it's funny, because those are two situations that seem similar, but they're very different.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because you have the first situation where there are multiple cops on the scene. You know, he gets out the car, and then it kind of escalates. But at that point, you've already gotten a feel for, okay, well... Who are the people involved? What's the circumstances? you know, mm-hmm. how that situation escalated will never make sense to me. And I think that that needs to be investigated. And
well, she's been charged.
And, right. And ultimately, there needs to be some form of justice implemented in that situation. The latter situation, I got to tell you, I know that people are in an uproar. And as a black man myself, you know, sometimes I think we wave the flag of racism or injustice, sometimes rightfully so, because, you know, you can only take, you know, so much before it becomes old hat. Right.
Yeah.
So we're talking about not a year, 2 years. We are talking about just years and years of being targeted, mistreated, manipulated by a system that was really not designed for our benefit. So I understand why, you know, our default sometimes is untrusting. But in seeing that video, I have to tell you, that is a true situation where he did not have a whole lot of time to make a decision. He
rolled, I agree.
He rolled up into a situation that was already escalating.
Right.
And not only that, there were people that were in potential harm's way.
Yeah, there were adults involved.
You've got someone with a knife charging towards another. Mm-hmm. And we can argue all day about, okay, well, you know, he could have potentially used a taser. But I've seen enough footage that a taser isn't always efficient. There's some people, it'll take you down. And there's other people that'll stand up and look at you like, ha, hit me again. So in that situation, it's kind of like, am I happy with the outcome? Absolutely not. Do I wish it was different? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can't win them all, though.
Right. Can I find him at fault for how the situation was handled? Not really.
To me, it's like
he saved a life. Down several times.
But it's like he saved one life. I mean,
it wasn't like I got out, bang, bang. Like
Did you see how she had the knife? She was going to strike the other girl. So, I mean, whether it was, would it have been a dead blow, we would never know, but it stopped. Yeah, split second decision. And that's, to me,
the atrocity is the person that
is it justified?
The person that called the police seeking help. That's the crazy
thing. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but why wasn't there adults there? Why was there a man kicking a girl on the floor? I don't know if it was that her alleged father. I don't know. These are things that haven't come out yet, but.
What about the officer who got pepper sprayed?
Oh yeah, the lieutenant.
Yeah, what about
that? Was crazy, man. That was over the top, and that was what I think it was of last year. It happened last year, right? November or something like that.
Last year,
yeah.
And
him driving to
him following the protocol, because the protocol is, it says to go where it's well lit. If there's not, and then he pulled into a gas station. What are you going to do in a gas station well lit? Now you can definitely identify me on your cameras, and. It turned out he even had the tag in the back window. We all know that. Like, you see that, and you can see it with those cars. You can see it with any car. You can see when a tag is there. I don't care how tinted the windows are. At night, that's your advantage. You can hit and see within the tinted, especially if you bought it off of a lot.
The beams of the light should have hit it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they would have definitely have seen I just thought it was overboard, and the fact that the guy was...
They were mad because he drove. They were mad because he kept driving. That's what it was.
It was less than a quarter of a mile. That's what he even said. He was like, "Oh, you drove for that." He was like, "No, it was a quarter mile." And you know these military guys, these guys that are in the military, they're very accurate when it comes to keeping accurate recollections of things. They're like, "No, it was a quarter of a mile," and he was keeping his calm. Talk about keeping calm.
Oh, this guy, he is the poster child for what you do in a situation that is, you know, escalating quickly and unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And you know what? That situation is really, it's like the perfect situation for when we speak about accountability and we talk about mistrust.
Yeah.
That's a situation, right? Because here we have so many times the story is, oh, well, look at his past. You know, he or she has a record. Mm-hmm. He or she did this in the past.
Yeah.
Here we're talking about somebody that also serves our country.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also puts his life on the line.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how he's treated. But, you know, where the real accountability and mistrust comes in is, they had this video in their possession.
Yeah.
Didn't want to release it. And it's not until the shit hit the fan did, you know, they actually go in and do something with the officer. Because he was released shortly after the release of the video.
Yes.
So what does that say?
Did you see?
What does that say to the public?
Yeah. No, did you see the continuation of that video?
No,
no.
When they sit and they're talking to him, I've been in a situation you all have when someone's wrong.
Oh, they were calm with him, right?
No, they were calm with him, but they were like, you know what? You know, why didn't you just listen? You made it worse. And they were like, do you want, you know, when you know you messed up, they're like, you know, give him a towel. Oh, you want me to wipe your face? He's like, no, I don't understand what I did. And he was trying to explain. He goes, we can go and document this, or I can, you know. So basically, if he goes to superior, it has to do with being, I don't think court-martialed, but it has something really bad to do if you get in legal right. system with, in a legal system, it has something to do with the Army. It's bad news for you as far as, I don't know the technicalities of how it works.
I think it's court-martialed.
Oh, you would know, court-martialed. Okay, so it'd be court-martialed because you're a vet. So they were like, basically like, we can do that, but, you know, it would not be good for you. So we can release you, or we could.
I remember that they was doing the training day. Where, you know, you want to go.
Yeah, you want to go home, or we can yeah. think, but it'll be documented. It'd be bad for you, you know. Right. And it's like, whoa, I've heard this rebuttal before. Uh-huh. You know, when someone's in a wrong and they're trying to save their own neck, like, oh, exactly. this can come back on me because
it was a game.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It can come back on me, but the fact that he's like, then he was like, you know, because I'm a vet too, and da da da, and I you serve my country. The way he said it was like.
About him versus what he did wrong. It was about saving himself, like you just said.
It was about saving himself. He knew he messed up, and he said, I talked to my superior, and he said, you know, hey, you can let him go. I told him what I want to do. Aha, I know what this reminds me of. Okay, so I'll tell you this. So I had experience. We had experience. Kate and I had experience with her car, and something went wrong with the battery. It had to get service. So it was a Nissan. We took it to the dealership and whatever, and everything was fine. And all of a sudden the battery was dead. They had it for a few days and the battery was fine before that. So I'm like, hey, the guy was like, oh, you guys need a new battery on top of the other stuff. I'm like, no, we don't. He's like, well, the battery, that's the issue. I said, listen, sir, battery is not the issue. It never was. So here's the thing. Either you guys replace it or charge it or doing something about it, right? And you can just tell something was fishy up. They were trying to nickel and dime you all they can get on top of the other services to repair the car. So he calls me and acts like it's a favor. Well, I talked to my boss and, you know, because we caught him in something. Because I was like, listen, I talked to this guy because they kept switching the service manager on us to someone else. And someone else kept adding crap to the car to get fixed and say, no, it's not this. And I'm like, look, you guys are going to fix this. You keep adding stuff to us. And that's not the initial thing when we pay the $200 for the diagnostics, because that's what they do now.
Right.
Pay the $200 for the diagnostics. We'll add that to the final bill.
Gimmick. Yep.
Exactly. So you can commit because you pay $200. You can't go to another mechanic. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, look, this wasn't so on and so forth. Then he was like, wait, like he did us a favor. What I did, I got it out of my own thing. You know, I talked to my manager and he said, hey, you know, what do you want to do? Give him the battery? Oh, so it's on us. I was like, bruh. So it's kind of like the same thing, guys. Hey, it's kind of like the same thing.
Reg, I got to disagree with you a little bit. You didn't get pepper spray.
I got my
trying to get bruh. That new battery.
Nah, dude, you know how much a battery costs from a dealership? I was the wallet was getting pepper sprayed.
Spray the wallet.
Yeah, it got fat. Yeah, and the reversal that you spray it doesn't get fat. Strings. what about you guys? Have heard about the whole DMX and DMX passing, Ray? Again, your fault that we're covering this last. We were supposed to cover this before, but your fault that we're covering this last. But we're going to pay our homage because I was a huge DMX fan.
Speaking of
any
that,
any of you guys were?
I listened to DMX maybe like 5 hours driving to a Mobile.
No wonder you were angry.
I wasn't angry. I was just.
Jeez. you push the door. Want to get at me, dog?
I was like, man, DMX was the man back in the day, like for real. Like,
yeah, he was. You were a DMX fan too, Jeff?
So, my man X, thank you for just, you know, the music,
yeah.
the energy, the presence. You know, we sleep on X because, you know, that his story didn't really quite unfold to what it could have been.
Right.
You know, as far as like just, you know, his stardom. I mean, I felt like he ruled everything. Everything he touched was gold.
Yeah.
Yes. About it, at one point, he was hot
on the charts. He was probably one of the first rappers that I thought was in mainstream movies continuously. And actually, he did a good job, you know, in some of those mm-hmm. acting roles.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the scene. X's first album, in my opinion, is gold. It stays in my rotation.
Yeah.
It is easily one of like my top 10 favorite albums just because of the impact
yeah.
and the energy that he brought in a time where everything was always flashy energy. And gitsy yeah. and mm-hmm. he was like rugged and raw and grimy and you know what, like I just, he's up there.
He had like a prophetic voice, man. His voice sounded like he was, the way he talked, the way he delivered the lines. When you found out that's the way to do talk, when he was rapping, just had that cadence with his, you know, the way his speech patterns, right?
Very unique.
And the fact that he brought prayer, man. He brought prayer in every album. Yeah. And what I think he was one of the first to drop double albums or two albums in the same year. But this dude went platinum 5 times.
You said double albums or the same album in the same year?
Same album. No, 2 albums in 1 year.
2 albums in 1 year.
Yeah, he was doing that. He was knocking them out. So he went platinum 5 times with, you know, never done that. No artist has ever gone platinum 5 times in a row. And that's what he was. That's what he was able to do.
Exit movies with Nas. He had. He was Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Jet Li, right? I mean.
Yeah. So what did you think about people? You know, there's a lot of things that were going on social media. Like people were like, oh, man. Now everybody's showing these pictures they have with X. Where the hell were you at when he was suffering and going through all this addiction? What were your thoughts on that? And I'll give you mine.
Low hanging fruit, man. It's easy to diss somebody.
Yeah.
You know, when. Let's just say, for instance, yeah. you dissed him right now, and you dissed him. It would be probably logical for me to diss him, too, because yeah. y'all dissed him, and not to sound different. But when you're real with somebody, you don't diss them. And when somebody's down and you really care about somebody, you try to lift them up when you're a real friend. So I think it was just low-hanging fruit, to be honest.
Ray with his southern terms. I'm going to have to Google that. Jeff?
So
low-hanging fruit.
It is just true of human nature that sometimes you can't appreciate something when it's there, when it's yeah. in front of you, when you still have access to it. And if you just think about like the hip hop community in general, I'd yeah. say in the last 2-3 years, we've lost some people that didn't really get the shine they deserved when they were, or better yet,
the flowers.
They didn't get
the flowers.
They didn't really have the footprint as far as reach when they were here and present. But the moment they passed, all of a sudden you see some of their albums are like hitting these numbers and are in rotation. So
like Nipsey.
Yeah, like you got Nipsey, you got a couple, you got like Pop Smoke, you got a couple people that passed that like upon their passing, you're like, yo, you know, these guys' albums are in rotation. You're seeing their merch everywhere. You know, you're seeing all these people there coming forward like, oh, we miss you.
Yeah.
And that's not to say they didn't have a following before, but, you know, you just feel it when something's, you know, it's I don't know. It's like that old pair of sneakers. You see it in the corner every day. It's no big deal, right? And then you finally yeah. throw it away.
Oh.
And then that one occasion so, arises, and you're like, oh, damn, I wish I still had them sneakers. And
I know,
like,
right?
So I got
a terrible analogy.
Yeah, it is. Because I'm like, you're talking about my thing with the damn dealership and pepper spray. This dude talking about shoes.
Like you can't appreciate sometimes when it's in front
gosh.
Of you, you know?
So what I thought about the whole thing where people are like, oh, how come you didn't help him and do anything, but you guys are posting pictures, we weren't checking on him. Here's the thing. If you ever dealt with anyone that has addiction, you can't help them unless they want help. Mm-hmm. And X seems like he was very strong-willed in mind that, hey, if he can't help himself, you're not going to be able to help him. Right. So that's one of the things. Like, ever dealt with a family member that has addiction? Mm-hmm. Yo, it's hard. And you know, you can stay with them all you want, but at the end of the day, you can't babysit people, especially if you have another life. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? But you can be there for them. So when they're around you, you can give them praise. You can tell them you'll be there for them. That's the best support you can do. So I saw two sides of it, and I was like, yeah, but if you guys haven't been friends or you haven't checked on him, yeah, you shouldn't be posting pictures here and there. But if you have been in his life and had a relationship with him, then yeah, I can see you, it's okay to post that, because like I said, you can't save people that don't want to be saved. It's hard to get out of addiction.
So the crazy thing about X is, I mean, you guys can tell me,
but yeah,
outside of like, you know, like having to adhere to like corporate meetings or being at a certain place at a certain time or maybe completing something by a certain time,
yeah,
I couldn't really find anyone that had anything negative to say about X the man. Even with him dealing with the yeah. addiction, everyone yeah. talked about how giving he was,
yes.
how loving he was, like how like spontaneous on the moment, like, you know, he came in and his energy and spirit just yeah. like filled the room. Like once you interacted with him, Like he left a mark. You know what I'm saying?
For the people who knew him, who really knew him.
Well, but they even some said of the people this, I got to work with him. Yeah. Like I saw stuff from Swiss Beats. I saw stuff from, you know, whether it's music industry, people that acted along, everyone, family members, they had nothing but, you know, great things to say about X the Man. Right. And everybody followed up with, you know, like, you know, his struggle, which when you hear how that came about.
Yeah, it was just,
you
know, crazy.
That in itself is crazy. Real crazy.
Yeah, a mentor basically laced his weed with crack, and that's how he got addicted to it. Someone that he looked up to, a 14-year-old boy looking up, you know, this is when he was learning about music and how to rap. And
Who was that mentor?
I don't know his name. That? He mentioned the name. I've heard
it. I can't remember it either, but I thought he came forward recently and said that that was not a true story, that he did no such thing. You know,
I mean, what is he going to say? He'd probably be marked for death. No, that didn't happen that way.
You know, and DMX can't say if it's true or not.
Right.
Exactly. Another thing that you were saying, too, is they said this dude didn't care about money. That's why he was giving out money. It wasn't about the flashy cars and stuff. If you looked at it, I mean, the dude wore like the same, I think it was silver chain.
Silver dog chain. Dog chain.
Yeah, the whole chain. Time. Yeah. And like, they say he would be. Rolls. He would be in like a homeless, not shelter, but like abandoned building, writing songs, talking to homeless people, sitting down, talking to homeless people, and really engaging in that. That's what it was all about. He didn't care about that. And he kept giving people shots that deserved it and opportunities. So I think, they lost a great guy, but damn, he left a body of work as well. And man, I think he's at peace. Unfortunately, I think when we were like, oh, man, I wish he was here. Yo, if you suffering on earth, I know it's bad for me to say, but if someone's suffering on earth and they leave, I mean, I think it's one of the worst things to wish they were here still suffering in a sense, even though they leave a trail of things behind.
Yeah, that's just the selfish side of us, though, because, you know, you feel that something's missing. It's lacking. Like, that energy's gone. So, you know, that's just the selfish side of us. But you're right. If you're thinking about it from a greater spiritual plane, then, that person's transitioned on to something better. So.
Absolutely. And
I can agree with that because when my father was going through what he was going through, and I wanted him here, but he was suffering. So I can relate to that.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, you know, he leaves, you know, kids behind. But, I mean, he was a man of faith, so that's what you got to keep in mind. He knows where he's going. He's made his. At the end of the day, you hope that he's made his peace with God, and he's moved on. But speaking of that, we talked about this before, Raymond. Jeff, I'm going to get your opinion on this. What do you think? Do you think cancel culture should be canceled? Has it gone too far?
So,
yeah,
that's a loaded question.
It's loaded.
I think cancel culture is great because, you know what, as a people's, there's usually so much division. And so I'm usually for it when you've got a group of people coming together with, you know, that with one goal, and, you know, they do things in a non-violent way to get their point across.
Okay.
That said, cancel culture is somewhat polluted. And what I mean by that is you've got people that have a big voice because they're sitting down at home and they're shielded from having to deal with the consequences of their comments. You know, sometimes that can be very disrespectful or downright hate speech because, you know what, hey, I'm a big person behind my screen, behind my phone, behind my laptop. And, you know, that's where I think it gets a little crazy. I do think that sometimes cancel culture can produce results that are positive. And then just because of where we're at with social media and where our society, how that plays into that, it's just really easy for someone to get reckless and say things because, you know what, there's little consequence to it. So it's a double-edged sword.
I agree with you wholeheartedly as far as that because it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it can be used for the positive. It can enhance. It can make change. You can do things to help people out. You can hurt people. I mean, it could be something detrimental to someone, and things can be untrue.
Okay, so from a non-biased point, I'm going to put something out there and see how you guys take it and what you would do. So speaking of DMX and cancel culture, so they're going after a lot of his music that had the derogatory words for terms for homosexuals. Back in the day, right? So this is, you got to factor in, this is 1997, 98, 93, you know, the years have gone when this was accepted in the hip-hop world. Judging from that now, I'm going to keep that there, right?
Yeah.
So now put that into the modern day where people are taking down statues now of the Confederate soldiers. Does that fall into the same category? So is it okay to have these statues and everything removed and not have hateful words maybe that isn't music removed as well? Or is it part of history? Should both of them be stated, or is one better than the other, or is it contradictory?
Well, as far as his music, I mean,
yeah,
like you just said, it was a different time, different era. And
so was Confederate. So was the war.
Okay. I
mean, okay. I'm just saying.
All good points. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but yeah, at the same time, this is a person we're talking about. We're not talking about a statue. And we didn't give him the opportunity to speak on that, to speak on, you know, what was going through his mind and how he felt about it. I mean, he may have a different opinion now. I don't know. He doesn't have the opportunity to speak on that. But at the same time, a statue is different than a person.
Well, it's music, though. So it is a person, though.
Yeah, but let's just say he says, you know, I feel differently about that.
But here's the thing. I'm going to approach it fair, just like we can't go back and talk to these Confederate soldiers. That, no, we can't go back and talk to them if they have a different opinion now. You know what I'm saying?
I got your answer for you. Can I tag me in, Coach? Can I get in on this?
Tag.
So I'm with Ray, right?
Okay.
We're comparing a statue to a person, but here's what I'll say about it.
Well, music. We're talking music and we're talking statue. Okay.
But a lot of the things that you have to keep in mind is the origins, right? So context is always important. It would be really interesting to see if X of today feels the same way that X of, you know, his first album feels. Not only that, you know, the music industry and I think people in general, and especially too, let's not front and act like, okay, this is all universal. There are plenty of places, there's pockets and cities in this country that are way more open-minded and have always been in comparison to others. And when you think about X and where he's from and his origins, that's just something that Northerners in general, they weren't very open to that. But even if we want to get past all of that, because you know what, you're right, X isn't here to defend himself. Here's the ultimate truth.
Yeah.
As a person, if I don't like what X said, I don't have to listen to his album.
Gotcha.
I don't have to go on Spotify or Apple Music. I could even change the damn station if we're in the car and it's playing on the radio.
Right.
But you know what I don't have? I don't have that same option if I have to walk by and look at that damn Confederate statue.
I got you.
And
okay,
that is the difference right there. You know what I'm saying? That to me, that's what
so,
I'm saying.
So with that said, should the Cosby shows and stuff be removed? If Weinstein's movies haven't been removed?
I'm pretty sure the people that were impacted by both these men would like to see them moved. I have to tell you, The Cosby Show, growing up for me, was one of my favorite
Absolutely.
Shows.
Every Thursday at 7 o'clock, I would and be home before the streetlights came on.
And
running home.
When you, it's not even because, just because, you know what, it was a black family, which honestly at the time there wasn't.
That's what it was for me.
There wasn't a whole lot of shows where you had a doctor and a lawyer, married couple, you know,
successful
family, love, the lessons that was taught. I mean, you could go back and watch The Cosby's now, and there is still lessons in those episodes that apply today. But I'll say this.
Yeah.
It has definitely impacted how I feel about the show. Like, the show doesn't carry that same sincerity that it did for me. If I'm walking by and it's on, I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can argue that on many fronts. You guys still listen to R. Kelly's music?
I haven't listened to that in a long, long time. But as far as The Cosby Show, I mean, there's a lot of things behind The Cosby Show because he wanted to buy the NBC. So you got to research and look back and see, because even Janis.
Joplin?
Janice, the model, right? Yeah, the model. She was found out she was plagiary. She had perjury. What was it on? You're on trial.
Perjury.
Right. Mm-hmm. She committed perjury on trial just to say she, you know, she was just trying to be whatever. So she was proven that she was lying. So there's a lot of things that came out. So I'd look into more into the Cosby situation to figure out why he was targeted for a lot of things. I don't know per se if it's all true, but there's a lot of conspiracy theories in the fact that his son was killed when he was trying to buy NBC back in the day, and he said he was going to make it more of a black, do what BET was doing, but he was going to do it on the classy Cosby.
Because when you control the information,
you can,
when you control the media.
Absolutely.
Outlet.
So you brought up R. Kelly and you brought up the Cosby show.
Yeah.
What about the Chappelle show?
What about it?
Should that be cancel culture?
Why?
There's a lot of undertones. Now the thing about the Chappelle
show. He went through black people's and stuff. He went through everyone that you can't say that he didn't pick. Yeah. But he picked on us the most.
But you can't say that it's not.
Nah, because you got everyone.
But I think there's a truth to equality.
Yeah.
Both good and bad, right?
Right.
So what I mean by that is, like, offending
everyone, then it's okay.
All upset, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Versus when you target one or two situations, then it carries.
Absolutely.
It carries a different energy about it. So I think, and the truth is, you know what, Dave Chappelle, personally for me, has taken on a very different role. For me personally, as a man mentally outside of just comedy, like, have you guys spent any time just looking into him and like watching his stuff? Like, he is a very smart individual.
Oh, he's very smart. Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, he just, he carries a different light for me. So it helps that he's funny, because he has found, in my opinion, the perfect balance between making you laugh and all at the same time getting you to think.
Yes.
And that's a tough thing to pull off, to be honest, but still be funny.
Yeah.
And even after you're laughing, you know, sometimes you circle back like, oh, shit, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, like, he plants that seed. So
I think he wrote, like, I from what I remember offhand, I think he wrote, like, Half Baked when he was, like, 19 years old or something.
Super
and
smart dude.
Yeah, and he wrote... you know, he was doing comedy circuit stuff and things at 15 or whatever, but he comes from a great upbringing from scholars, you know, his parents.
I saw an interview where Kevin Hart and Chris Rock went to watch a Chappelle show.
Okay.
A Chappelle, like, stand-up. And like, he was, I think he was doing it out, like, in the farm.
Okay.
Out there in where he's from. And I think, is it Cleveland, Ohio?
It's Ohio, I think.
I think it's Ohio. Okay. So they just went to check him out or whatnot. Because, you know, comedians just, they do stuff to, like, to test their materials.
Yeah, okay.
And so they were watching Chappelle, and after they heard his stuff, they took their material and balled it up and threw it away.
Oh, wow. This is before they got big, or this is when they were big?
This is when they're big.
Oh, wow.
They were like, oh, no, we can't. I mean, the stuff that they said he used was just like, can't believe he just said that, or the way he thought about it.
He's like an advocate for, like, things, whether it's civil rights or something. It's the way he puts the comedy, but he's speaking on things that are happening, and he's putting it, like you said, he's making you think, like, oh, this is funny, but this is facts. This is true. So there's, like, you know how they say there's 50% truth in each joke? And that's what he does. He really makes you sit there and, like, oh, really analyze and say, oh, shit, well, it's so ridiculous, but that's, oh, my God, he's right.
Yeah, he presents it in a way you're like, ha-ha. Wait a minute.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yes,
it's crazy.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, man. He's a brilliant. He's a brilliant comedian.
So I'm super stoked because
he's a comedian's comedian.
Because I think it was yesterday or the day before, I read where him, Talib Kweli, and Mos Def were actually going to have a podcast out soon, and I have to believe that, you know, these are, like, three really influential
conscious
brothers.
They're
conscious. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a pulse of the people.
Yeah.
They understand the history. They understand the plight. So, man, I'm stoked to see, you know, what that what that looks like, what that sounds
damn,
like.
Yo, three? Yo, it sounds like, oh, word on the street is that, yo, we might be getting a third guy on the show.
Is that right?
Might be. It's the word on the street. You've met him before, yeah. You might get a third guy to complete this bro rant. So the logo might change. It might be someone popping out the middle. Maybe popping out of Ray's shoulder on the right. You don't know if Ray wants to be in the middle, but it's a possibility.
Speaking
we might give them some challenge.
Check out the hat.
No, check out the hat.
Yeah. Check out the shirt.
The sweater.
The sweater.
The friends. Come on, bro.
So I'm going to keep it real with you, family.
Yeah.
I showed up here with no Bro Rants merch.
look at Ray,
cousin
yo.
Cousin Jeff failed on this one simple task. But I will say this.
Yeah.
It's quality stuff. Like Reg will tell you, I borrowed this from him and I'm trying to buy it off him. He's like, nah, go to the site and get your own. I'm like, exactly. Yo, but I got it on now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I broke it in for you. It's all good, bro. I appreciate you breaking it.
Quality stuff is the branding is legit. You got a variety of stuff. It's comfortable.
Okay.
And we're in Florida right now, right? And I got this sweater on. I gotta tell you, it's not super heavy. Like it's a good fit. The inside lining is tight. Like, yo, they did their thing.
Well, we appreciate that. We really appreciate that. Actually, and coming this week, we actually have a great interview. Speaking of beacons and people that are for advocates, we have a great interview with Sean Ellis, guys. So you guys will definitely have to check that out coming up.
And who is Thursday. Sean Ellis? Netflix Trial 4. Sean Ellis, falsely convicted of a crime that he did not commit.
Yes, exactly.
Spent 22 years.
Well, he rounds it off to 22 years. It's 21.
21 years, 7 months, and 29 days.
Yes, sir.
So he spent all that time locked up for a crime that he did not commit, and he's out now.
He's out now. Anyway, we had a great interview with him. We had some technical difficulties, but it wouldn't be Bro Rants without technical difficulties. It would not be
Bro Rants without the technical difficulties.
Absolutely not. And that's one of the reasons Jeff is here, because we wanted to make sure that we had we did this interview right, and we had some arsenal with it. We had enough people.
And the energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Energy.
Exactly. So we hope you guys are going to enjoy that. Definitely look out for it on Thursday. It should be out. If it's not out, it's Ray's fault.
Seriously, though, check out Trial 4. Even if you're not into documentaries, you know, sometimes it can feel a little heavy. It is such a great watch, and there's layers to it. So, you know, as you get through, you know, part one, you're like, nah. You get to part two, you're like, oh, hell nah. It just takes you on this path, and you're left there scratching your head thinking, like, there's no way something like this could really happen, right? Like this can't be real. So yeah, check it out.
And it happens, right? It happens a lot more times than we believe. And it has to do with economics too, man. If you don't have the resources to have someone defend you, you're stuck with a public defender. You are pretty much screwed. Yeah, they got a workload that's, I don't know how we have something that's supposed to be fair and we still have these public defenders that are overworked, and their case volume is extremely high. I mean, it's not healthy for them. It has to do so. I would love to see what the statistics are as far as what their mental, I meant to ask him that too, what their mental health is, knowing that they're putting people to prison just to ease up their workload.
Maybe we should have one on.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should. Let's right?
Work. I'll work on that.
Oh, you will? Okay. That'd be wonderful to have someone on like that on the show. But yeah, it was, like I said, my mom, his aunt, binge watch. Binge watch. She binge watched the thing, man. She was like trying to get to, she didn't know about it. And I told her, yo, watch this. And because we were trying to come up with some great questions for the guy. It's a lot of pressure when you're like, what do we ask that no one's asked before? Because he's been on a few shows already. So she was like binge watching. She couldn't believe it. And she was like, oh my gosh, I cried. I got angry. It's so much emotions. Like Jeff said, roller coaster of a ride on emotions that you're going to go through when you watch this. So definitely check it out. And also check out his website, www.trial4.com, to buy his merch, Wounded But Not Broken. Show your support that way. And also, while you're at it, go to BroRants, bonfire.com/BroRants. You know the damn name, guys. I'm not going to spell it for you.
When they see me again, merch. I'm going to be like Bro Rants merch out, right? I'm going to have the hat. They may not even have scarves yet. I'm going to get the scarf.
Yo, we're working on that, bro. We're working on that.
Like, I'm going to be right.
We got the sombreros coming, dude. We got that coming.
For everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you guys want to leave on a rant or something positive? However you want to leave it, I'll leave it to you guys so we can leave the audience with something.
Let's leave it on a positive note with, because after the interview we had with Mr. Ellis, how much peace he had versus anger and bitterness. I mean, I was surprised by that. you know, as far as, so let's just say peace.
You're going to say peace?
I'm going to say peace.
All right, Jeff, what do you got, man? I'm going to see. Hey, I know our name is Bro Rant, so I'm going to leave everyone with their own whatever they want
to
leave.
I like to rock the boat, so okay. I appreciate Ray's voice. He's right. Mr. Preach. Ellis. Mr. Ellis has a peace and poise about him that is amazing.
Gotcha.
You know, thank you for the opportunity to take part of that.
Both oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
But this message goes out to my peoples. Okay. When I say my peoples, it's not gender. It's not color. It's just my peoples. We all family. We have to find a way to get to a middle ground between us being the peoples and our expectations of law enforcement and law enforcement's willingness to hear some of our concerns and actually implement real-time change. I feel like, you know, this is a relationship that could have and should have been worked on from a long time ago. Yeah. But what it is technology is taking us to a place where it's no longer your word against mine, mm-hmm. because you know what, there's several angles from a camera. And not only that, but you know, the one positive that's come out of this is there's just a unity, right? I feel like regardless of race, creed, color, there are people that mm-hmm. are speaking out about the injustice. And injustice happens on both sides, not just to us, you know, the supposed to be law-abiding citizens, but even law enforcement, because they have a rough deal and their job is not easy. So, you know, this is a cry for peace. Let's get together. Let's get to these tables. Let's sit down. Let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about the needs. And let's find a common ground. Like, you know, let's fast track in 2-3 years from now. We could be having conversations about the other problems going on in the world instead of, you know, law enforcement. Like, we can make this happen. We're at a place where we could definitely make it happen. We just got to be willing to listen, and we got to be willing to act on it.
Oh, I like that, man.
Well said.
I do like that. First and foremost, if you guys are liking the way we're looking, I want to give a shout out to Jay Wood.
Jay Wood. Yeah. Jennifer Woods.
Jennifer Woods. I don't know if she wanted to give her the full name, but I guess Ray did that. So you want to throw the social too? Okay. Thank you, because she hooked us up as far as how to set up the light and everything. So appreciate that. And we're just trying to upgrade and get better with this. My rant. Do I have a rant? Let me see.
And do you have a rant?
I do have a rant. Always, just a rant on myself. Always be prepared, even when you think you are prepared. Double check, go over stuff, because, man, I had this all set up. I was worried about the lighting, and I was like, oh, I got the video down. All of a sudden, the software wasn't working. I was working with that for a half an hour before these guys came over. Then I finally figured out when Ray was here. I was like, got it. Oh, I finally got it. Got everything going. Then I forgot the plug to put in the laptop, and then so the laptop died during an interview. And what else on top of that?
Is this a rant or just a
crap? A rant on myself. I'm not whining. I'm just going to say, hey, do better. So if you think you got it, double check, do over, especially if you have an important interview, guys, or it could turn to shit. But thank God these guys were here, and we recovered. And thank you for Sean Ellis and his assistant, Cynthia Dixon, all of your help.
Yeah, Dix, awesome girl. Thank you.
Sorry about your daughter losing her match.
Really, just bring that up.
I had to bring that up because she's going to listen to this. So thank you. She might listen to us. I don't know.
Remember which one's Reggie.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say nothing. I'm just going to let it go. I had to come back.
He's going to say something with the final tailor jacket.
Oh, you're going to say something?
So I want to say to his family, he's right. Like, we experience all types of difficulties, but what he's not letting you know is my man put in a lot of time for the preparation, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
He made sure these lights, you see us, this cocoa brown glistening right now? That's this dude, okay? Like,
that's Jay Wood. That's Jay Wood.
Well, thank you, Jay Wood. But you know what? She ran with the assist, but you know, you definitely put it together. And even though we experienced all those issues and problems, you know what? You should have seen him working diligently to get it on track. And we did right the ship. So, you know, it's symbolic of life. It doesn't matter how prepared you are. You're going to find yourself in a challenging situation. It's how you deal with it that's really counts. You know what I'm saying? So props to Reg.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, damn, Jeff. You sure you want to be on the show? Gosh, damn, bro. Loving this. Let's work for me and Ray. Ray and I are like, okay, cool. Like, you guys have a wonderful week, and we will see you soon. Are you coming for the ocean thing or no? I don't know if we're doing it next week or not.
You know, remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen. Okay. Don't rock the boat. Anyway, guys, I'm Reg.
Jeff.
And I'm Ray.
Bro, Cousin Rance. Jeff. Cousin Jeff. That's right. Cousin Jeff. See you guys next time.
And we love you.
Raymond loves you.